Yes, Arthur. Thanks very much for doing this, mate.
No problem, mate.
Best dressed guest by a mile.
Yeah, but it's, you know, when you fucking used to share the room with Barry Ferguson and that kind of stuff, then...
Tracksuits.
Even Stevie Wonder would be a better dressed than him.
I need to thank you as well. Passed my driving test on Tuesday.
Okay.
I was having a nightmare and then I dropped in that I was interviewing you and you were the guy's hero. So, hit somebody, hit the curb. And I still pass, so thanks,
really?
Mate.
Okay.
If you and Bert contact him and ever need a lift anywhere, give us a shout, all right?
I will do that, definitely.
Another thing I was going to say, mate, you still look in great shape. You look like you could still play.
I look as if I can play, but I think it will probably last 10 minutes.
No, no way.
Yeah, no, but because when I retired and I started to play some games for the old players from Holland, and we played some tournaments, it was in Brazil, in South Africa, sometimes in Holland, and it's good fun. But you notice when you become older, you still think that you're fit, but then you have to play against all these young boys, and then you notice then after a while that you're not as quick anymore, and you start to get problems with your hamstring, with your calf. Mm-hmm. And I think 2 years ago, I think it was last year, was actually the last time I played, it was for Fernando Rixon's game. I think it was in Fleetwood. It was like old ranges against old England. It was good fun. Yeah. It's not only because you want to play, but it's also you see all your former teammates and you're having a laugh, taking the mickey out of each other, mm-hmm. having a drink afterwards. But I hardly play games anymore.
Okay. What was your upbringing like in Holland? How was it growing up playing football in Holland?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I was born in a village with four football teams. And I have to admit, all the amateur teams are really well organized. They have their own complex, they have their own facilities with dressing rooms, a canteen where you can drink and eat something. So that was fantastic. And we had four teams. And it was like, yeah, when you're 8 years old, you become a member of your local club. And then all of a sudden you start to play games against each other, against the teams who are actually there in your area. So I trained, we trained twice a week. We played in a competition on a Saturday. And it was brilliant, you know, with your friends from school. And we were always outside playing in the park, playing in the schoolyards, always playing football. Because nowadays they have all this computers and everything, and for us it was like a ball, and we were always outside playing football, and that was fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant. If I think about that time, then yeah, I was really like a young boy, always playing outside in the park with his friends and playing football for my local team. It was fantastic.
Because a big topic in Scotland now is youth coaching. Why do you think Holland produced so many technically good players? What was the coaching like that you would get?
Well, the last couple of years now in Holland, we are also a little bit struggling because we didn't qualify for the last two tournaments. But I have to admit, especially developing the youngsters has always been like the trademark from Holland. And what I said, the most important thing is also the facilities. We had the facilities, but I said when I came to Scotland here in 98, I got a bigger shock in my life because I couldn't believe that like a team like Motherwell was playing in a public park. Because I used to live in Hamilton, and actually where I lived, there was a public park, and then in the morning I could see actually the young boys actually cleaning the park. Uh-huh. And I thought I said, what's happening here? I said, yeah, the Motherwell. I said, what do you mean Motherwell? I said, the professional team, yeah, they're training in the park, and I couldn't believe it. And I said as well, the worst amateur team in Holland is better organized and have better facilities than all the top teams in Scotland.
Wow.
And that shows it a little bit how the difference.
Uh-huh. How the difference in the countries.
The difference in the countries, yeah.
You started off at Haarlem.
Yeah.
With a wee Richard Advocate.
Yeah.
Was he a big influence, obviously? Was it him who put you to left back?
No, because it's quite funny. I started my career with my local team, SV Beverwijk. And then when I was 40 years old, I was scouted for Haarlem. They played in the highest division. So I played for 3-4 years in the youth. And then... I was still a youth player, but then all of a sudden, I think it was just after the winter break, and the left midfielder from the first team, he was sold to FC Twente, and I was playing then left midfield in the youth, and then I got a chance actually to play for the first team, and Advocaat was the coach, and I knew Advocaat already because he was also my coach for the national team under 17 and under 18, so he knew a little bit about me, and he thought that I had the potential to become like a first team player and maybe become an a player who will maybe reach the top. But so I made my debut. I think I played for 25 minutes, and I was so desperate to show my potential and my quality that I had the worst game in my career, I think. And because I wanted to prove myself and to show everybody that I had the potential to become a first team player. And then after the game, Advocati came to me and he said, listen, he said, this was not your best game. He said, the next time when you play, he said, play as if you're in the youth and do exactly the same. And that was a good advice, because then the second game, I came on in the second half, and then actually I tried to play as if I was like playing for the under 18s. And that was much better. And I was a left midfielder, and later I become a left fullback, because everyone thinks that I've been always a left fullback my whole career. But it's strange, I started as a left winger, then an attacking midfielder, left midfielder, and actually when I was 26, then I became a left fullback.
Do you think that helped you being a fullback, that you'd played on the wing before?
Well, it helped, especially because when I became a left fullback, the coach told me, Advocaat, he said, well, you're a left fullback, but he said you can use the space in front of you, so you become an attacking midfielder, or an attacking fullback. Mm-hmm. Because when I was playing on midfield, I was also like making the runs behind the defense. And he said, you become a left fullback, and he said, use the space in front of you, in combination with the left winger and the left midfielder. So by the time there were only a few what I remember, with the kind of, Roberto Carlos from Real Madrid, he was like a perfect example. He, for 90 minutes, he was up and down. He was actually playing with two oxygen bottles on his back. But that helped me, especially because I had this drive and going forward to attack. And the only thing what I had to learn was to defend, because in the beginning I made a lot of mistakes, because when you're a midfielder, you know that if you make a mistake, you always have the four defenders behind you. But if you're a left fullback and you make a mistake, then there's only the goalkeeper. So but you learn from your mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. And actually then, when I was playing more games, then all of a sudden I was also selected for the national team, and then I became an international player as well.
You said that Advocaat was good on your debut with the advice he gave you. Was he ever hard on you as a kid as well?
Yeah, what do you think?
Because
he's always been the same. No, but if I look back now, because he was the coach when I was playing for Holland under 18, he was my coach with Haarlem for a year and a half. Then a couple of years later, he selected me for the national team when I made my debut for Holland. It was against Poland. I made my debut, so I was quite happy. And I was in the squad with Marco van Basten, with Ruud Gullit, with Koeman. So all the players who won 4 years before, they won the European Championship with Holland. They won the Champions League with PSV Eindhoven. And I was a young boy. But I made my debut, so I was quite happy. But I was also not very happy with Dick, because he substituted me after 32 minutes.
On your Holland debut?
Yeah, my Holland debut, because we were 2-0 down against Poland, and I could see someone already doing the warming up, and I thought,
nothing worse.
I think he's not going to substitute Rijkaard, he's not going to substitute Koeman, he's not going to substitute Marco van Basten. So then half time he came to me, I was absolutely furious, and I was fuming, and he said, listen, I didn't substitute you because you didn't play well, but it's like technical wise, but you know yourself, you're not happy as a player. So
it happens to me all the time.
So I was shouting and yelling. And then actually, when I was playing for PSV Eindhoven already for 4 years, then he became my manager there as well for, I think, for 2.5 seasons. And then actually, when he was signed for Rangers, I actually joined him as well. So he's been there like from the age of 18 to towards the end of my career.
See, when you went to that Holland team for the first time, the older players, were they really good with you? Was there advice, or would they be hard on you?
I think the difference then, when you compare with now, then you have like the respect from the youngsters towards the oldest. There was the hierarchy, you know, you have the older ones, the ones who already won prizes. And you know yourself, if you're a youngster, and I was a youngster, I was 21 years old, I was a promising player, one of the most talented players in Holland. You wouldn't believe that, but it was true. I was a very promising midfielder, and then when I was selected for the national team, and you can imagine how I felt, you know. The first time I was like sitting like, I walked in, and then I had to introduce myself, hello, I'm Arthur. And but I said all the big names. And 4 years before, I was actually watching Euro 88. And then I was actually celebrating there, and I was cheering them on. And 4 years later, all of a sudden, you're, you walk into the dressing room with these kind of players. And I said to myself, I have to earn their respect by actually giving every training 110% and try to show them that I actually have the good attitude, good mentality, and to show that I have the absolute drive to compete with them. And because for them as well, they always look at you as a youngster and see what your quality is and your potential, and then hopefully you become one of them. And but I said, yeah, I was disappointed that I only played 35 minutes and I got substituted. But yeah, that's also a process that you go through, and hopefully then the next time you hope that you will play. But there are always players who give you some advice and yeah, you listen to. But at the end of the day, once when you're on the park, yeah, you have to show your quality to them.
As you said, you moved to PSV. And you played with the real Ronaldo.
Yeah.
How good was he?
Yeah, it was. But before Ronaldo, we had also another Brazilian player. You can imagine, I signed for PSV Eindhoven. I was only 18 months before with FC Twente, and then I had a chance to join PSV Eindhoven. And for me, it was a great opportunity, but because 2 years before, I was playing for Haarlem and I was a semi-professional. The most of my teammates, they were working as a carpenter, as a plumber, as a painter. And then I went to Twente to become a professional player. And 18 months later, I signed for PSV Eindhoven. And yeah, I came in a team and it was strange as well, because I was a left winger. Mm-hmm. I signed as a left winger, and then we had up front, we had like Wim Kieft, who was also in the squad with Holland, who won the 88, the European Championship. And the other Brazilian player was Romario.
Oh, wow.
So it was unbelievable. And one of the reasons that I signed for PSV was because of Romario. You can imagine, 2 months, 3 months before I actually joined PSV Eindhoven, I was on the beach in Holland and I was reading an interview from Romario. And all of a sudden I said, I hope that we can strengthen our team this year with a player, and the player I like is Arthur Newman.
No way.
So I was thinking, how does he know me? Because he thought that I was the perfect player for him to actually give him all the crosses and actually to provide him with all the balls in the box. So I thought, what, well, it's unbelievable, you know, that a big player like Romario comes out with an interview and actually tells that he wants me as a teammate. So it was for me fantastic to play 1 year, because after 1 year he went to Barcelona. And then after Romario, then we had this other young boy that was like Ronaldo. He was only 70 years old when he came. He was a big talent, a big potential. And he came to PSV Eindhoven and we spotted already the potential this player had. Of course, you can imagine, he comes from the Copacabana and then he comes to the cold and freezing Holland. But no, it was an absolute pleasure to play with these two players. Only 1 year with Romario, but I think 3 years with Ronaldo. And then he also made a move to Barcelona. But yeah, they are exceptional players, because yeah, both players that won the World Cup with Brazil, they've been voted best player of the world. And yeah, if you look back now, you think, whoa, I was there on the pitch to play with these kind of players.
What are they guys, see the guys that play at the top level, what are they like as guys? Do they join in with the banter or the...
Yeah, of course. Yeah? It's not different if you're on the lowest level, on an amateur league or whatever, or an ice level. Of course, you're professional, so you go out and for 90 minutes you give everything and everything for the result. And sometimes on the park, yeah, you tell each other the way it is. And of course, you get on well with each other, but on the park, sometimes if someone makes a mistake, you help them. And sometimes if they don't listen, then you will tell them in the face the way it is, but only one goal is to get the result. Mm-hmm. But sometimes after the game we went out clubbing, a few drinks, and then like it's important that you switch off as well, and then socializing, having a laugh, having a drink, and I think that happens everywhere.
At PSV, involved in the Holland Euro 96 squad, where there was a big bust up between Wee Specky Davids and Gus Hiddink. Yeah. What's your memories of that?
Well, I've been involved with four tournaments, but 96 I want to forget as quick as possible, because although I was a member of the squad, but I had a feeling that I would never actually play. I was always on the bench together with Jaap Stam. We were always sitting next to each other, and then we knew already we're going to sit here for 90 minutes, and then we, after the game, we go back to the dressing room, get a shower, and back to the hotel, because I felt that Hiddink had no confidence in me, that I would never play. And also the fact that we had a lot of problems in the dressing room, but a lot of the problems were amongst the Ajax players, and they took all the problems from Ajax in the dressing room to the national team. And then there's also this argument with Edgar Davids. He said something about Hiddink, And then yeah, Hiddink was not happy, and he actually sent him home. So it was like, it was not a good atmosphere. And you can imagine if you're then together for 3 or 4 weeks, and yeah, every day you're there like on the training ground. You have breakfast, you have lunch, you have dinner, and the atmosphere is not good. Then you feel like, no, this is it's not good. And then it's really strange, but we lost with penalties against France in the quarterfinal, and I was happy that we missed the penalty, so I could go home.
Really?
And it's really, really strange that you think that way, because I thought, no, atmosphere wasn't good, I wasn't part of the team, and I thought, I go home and draw a line and forget about it.
And then France 98, regular starter.
Yeah.
Check that team should have done better, because it was a great team.
Yeah. And that was completely opposite, but more or less we had the same squad from 96. There were maybe two or three players who actually were not in the squad anymore. But then Hiddink, after that tournament, after 96, we came together before we played Wales in the first game. And yeah, we discussed all the trouble and problems we had during 96. And he said, okay, forget about it, we focus on 98. And first try to qualify, and then actually when you qualify, you try to come as far as possible. And I had a feeling with the squad we had a fantastic squad of players, and every position we had 3-4 players who could compete for the position. So you knew that you have to give everything 100% and show that you are the one who actually play ahead. But yeah, in 98 I had a feeling that we could become the world champion.
But you were a bit worried about Scotland.
I was really worried about Scotland. But they came in the, was it the first?
I think Brazil beat them, didn't they?
Yeah, but they played well. I remember that. It was also the last time that you qualified.
Was there no a big night out, France night as well?
Ooh, I gave you all this information, by the way. No, it was fantastic, because you can imagine, we were, I think, 6-7 weeks together, and our home base was Monaco. And from Monaco, we flew to Paris, we flew to Marseille to play our game. So, and it was very relaxed there. We stayed in a hotel in Roquebrune. And sometimes after the training, we went for a walk. We went for a cup of coffee. And it was nice and relaxed there, because yeah, there were a lot of people there on holiday, and a lot of them, they didn't care about football and they didn't recognize you. So that was perfect. And one night, I think it was 3 days before the quarterfinal, no, 4 days before the quarterfinal, then we were allowed to go out. And Hiddink said, okay, you know, we've been already a long time together, and sometimes you need to switch off. So we went out for a few drinks, but we had to go back to the hotel, I think, 12 o'clock. But most of us, they were out, and it was 12 o'clock, and we thought, you know what, we have one more drink. And then we went to a club, and we walked into the club. It was during the week, I think it was on a Wednesday evening. So it was not very busy, it was actually a quiet day. And it was quite funny, because we were there having a drink, and there was a big dance floor, and it was very quiet. And then all of a sudden, we looked over our shoulder, and there was three bodyguards. And there was this small lady. She walked in, and we were looking and think, what is this? And we couldn't believe our eyes. And then all of a sudden, Whitney Houston walked in.
Oh.
So we were like, hey, we were in shock from where is she coming from? Because she had a concert, and after a concert, she wanted to probably go out and have a drink like us.
Uh-huh.
She probably knew that I was in, because she heard about my dance moves on the dance floor. But now, to be honest, we were actually there, we were on the dance floor, and she was having fun as well. And I think the one with the best moves was probably Patrick Kluivert. He was there actually on the dance floor with Whitney Houston. So it was unbelievable. You know, all of a sudden you're there on the dance floor, and Whitney Houston was there. Yeah, two of these bouncers that were actually around her. But yeah, it was great. And after we went back to the hotel, and I think Hiddink, he knew that we came back a little bit later, but he did this. But then the following day, we were like professionals, and then on the training, we were giving 110%. But sometimes that's good, that you sometimes need to switch off. Don't go too far, or don't drink too much. But yeah, that was a remarkable night, that all of a sudden we were there on the dance floor, and then Whitney Houston, all of a sudden, she walked in.
When did Whitney leave the hotel?
Well, you asked her actually to give a performance there.
Would that be the best team you played in, that Holland team at France 98?
Yeah, it was 98 and also 2000, because we had this squad who were together then for a couple of years. And yeah, if you see the names like Edwin van der Sar, you have Ronald de Frank de Boer, David, Seedorf, Kluivert, Bergkamp, Overmars. A fantastic team, and what I said, for every position with three good players, quality players. And yeah, we lost in the semi-final with penalties against Brazil. There was everyone was disappointed, and actually devastated that we didn't reach the final. And the same happened actually 2 years later when you had the Euros. It was in Holland and Belgium. And again, we played against Italy in a semi-final. Italy got the player sent off after half an hour. We got a penalty we missed. So we played nearly for an hour with against 10 players from France. And then again with penalties, we lost. But both semi-finals I missed because in 98, I got a red card against Argentina in the quarterfinal, so I missed the semi-final. And then 2 years later, I torn a tendon under my foot in the quarterfinal against Yugoslavia, so I missed the semi-final as well. So a lot of people, they actually blame me because I didn't play in semi-final, because if I had played in both semi-finals, we would have played two finals. Why are you laughing?
I believe you. Why I believe you.
I can't believe you.
But it was France 98. I think you were linked to Atletico Madrid, ended up going to Rangers.
Yeah.
How did it come about?
It actually was in March. I still remember. It was on the training ground in Eindhoven. And then all of a sudden, Dick Advocaat, he came to me. And Arthur, he said, you have a minute? I said, yeah, okay. He said, nobody knows, he said, but I go to Glasgow Rangers at the end of the season. So I was looking to him. I said, yeah, nobody knows. But he said, I signed for Rangers. And he said, I want to know if you want to join me. Yeah, I said, I need to think about it. He said, no. Yes or no? Yeah, I said, but I have to think about it. Yes or no? So I thought, Glasgow Rangers. I didn't know a lot about the club, but I thought, well, he's going there. And I know Dick. When Dick goes somewhere, he wants a challenge and he wants actually to go for it. And I thought, okay. He said, okay, I know enough. And that continued for a couple of weeks, but it was a difficult situation as well because, yeah, Dick was the coach and I was the captain of the team. And but he could only actually go to the board and say, I want Newman with me to Rangers. He had to wait until some other clubs were interested in me. And there was a lot of interest, to be honest, from clubs from, I think, from England, Italy, Spain. But he had to wait until an offer came on the table, and then all of a sudden it was like Atletico Madrid. I think they got in touch with PSV Eindhoven that they were interested in me, and they also wanted to have Jaap Stam. And that was also the moment then for Dick Advocaat to say, okay, I go to Rangers, as you know, but I'm also interested in Arthur. So then he could compete with Atletico Madrid. And it was up to the club, PSV Eindhoven, actually, to sort out the transfer fee. But so then I had then two clubs. It was Glasgow Rangers or Atletico Madrid to choose from. There were some other clubs as well, but I said, okay, no, there are two options, or either Rangers or Atletico Madrid. And I was invited to Madrid. I went there with my Jon, my missus, and we spent the 2 days in Madrid, and I have to admit, everything was perfect, organized. The meetings, they took me to the stadium, and they were desperate actually to sign me, and also Jaap Stam. And then 2 weeks later, I was also invited by Rangers. They wanted to show me the stadium, speaking to David Murray about contracts, etc. And I remember there was a private jet for me arranged, and I flew from Rotterdam. It was myself, my missus, and Dick Advocaat was there as well. And we flew from Rotterdam to Edinburgh, and I was there on the plane, and I said to Dick, I said, can I have a coffee, please? I think this is my only chance to actually ask him if he can serve me with a cup of coffee, because he was desperate to get me. I said, this is the only time I will get you a coffee and a sandwich, and if you sign for Rangers, it's payback time for me. But no, I have to admit, then I went to Scotland, and I got picked up by John Craig, the legend, and he was talking about Rangers, and he drove me from Edinburgh to the stadium. And by that time, it's also, I didn't know that John Craig was the legend. I thought that he was someone hired by Rangers.
A driver.
It's unbelievable. And I only found out when I signed for Rangers that it was John Craig. And I thought already he was like a gentleman, a really nice guy. He knew a lot about me and knew a lot about football in general. And I thought, ooh, he knows a lot. And only when I signed for Rangers, I found out it was a John Craig. So I told him later and he was laughing as well.
Brilliant.
But no, I chose for Rangers instead of Atletico Madrid, and it was the best choice I made.
At France 98, I think you roomed with Pierre Van Hooijdonk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What was his advice to you?
Yeah, it was quite funny because I don't know how it is nowadays. I think the players, they have probably their own room and you have your own privacy. But back in those days, it was like everyone was sharing the room with a teammate. And I knew Pierre already from the under 18 from Holland, the Olympic team, and of course from the national team. And it was quite funny because, yeah, I was in the room and I signed for Rangers, so of course I asked Pierre for some advice, And I said, what is it like to play for Rangers and to be involved in the old firm? He said, Arthur, I can tell you hours about it, but he said, I'm not going to do it. I said, you will find out yourself. I said, but what is it like when you're in an old firm, the atmosphere and the build-up towards the game? He said, no, I'm not going to tell you. I said, the moment when you play your old first old firm game, he said, you will know. And he said, and then you will call me, and then he said, yeah, you were right. But he was spot on because, the first one when we played the Parkhead, then it was actually... it was already the build-up towards like the old firm game, you know, the papers and the supporters on the streets. When you arrive at Parkhead, when you come off the bus, the atmosphere in the stadium, it was amazing. And unfortunately, we lost, but that was actually the best to experience what it is to be involved in an old firm game.
And did Dick not try to get you to get in Pierre's ear about coming to Rangers?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I know. That was also during the tournament, and Dick said he knew that Pierre was my roommate, and he said, try to get Pierre. I want him to play for Rangers as well. He said, maybe you can convince him to come to us. So I asked Pierre. I said, Pierre, I said Dick wants you as a striker to join Rangers. And he started to laugh. He said, Arthur, he said, you have no idea, eh? I said, what do you mean? I said, you can come for the next couple of years to play for Rangers. I said, we're a new team, new players. I said, we can compete in Europe against the big teams. And he was only laughing. He said, wait until you play your first old firm game. I said, and then you realize what that means. He said, for me, it's impossible to sign for Rangers. I said, come on. I said, in Holland as well, I said, players that go from Ajax to PSV, from PSV to Feyenoord. I said, Arthur. He said, no. I said, I played for Celtic. I said, I can't play for Rangers. And I've tried it a couple of times, but... And then I have to admit, actually, when I came to Scotland, and then after a few weeks, and then especially after playing my old first Fulcrum, then I realized actually what he actually wanted to say to me. And he was spot on, he was right.
Is there anything else like it that you've experienced now?
No. I said as well, I played European Championship, World Cups, but the old firm is something special. The atmosphere is fantastic. It's absolutely unbeatable. And that makes football, that makes like... Yeah, that's what it's all about, the atmosphere, and especially the rivalry between two actually big clubs in one city. If you want, you have the Rangers, you have the Celtic, and when they play against each other, you feel the intensity, the rivalry, and that's a fantastic feeling. It's amazing when you're on the park then, and you look around you.
How was the standard at Rangers compared to what you just came from at PSV?
Well, actually, I got criticised because by that time, everyone in Holland... Everyone thought that I would sign for Atletico Madrid. And when I announced that I would sign for Rangers, they were all like, why are you going to Scotland? The league is nothing compared to other leagues in Europe. Rangers, they are not a better or bigger team than PSV Eindhoven. And there was not one person who understood my decision to go to Rangers. And I got really slaughtered by a lot of people. But then they didn't realize the size and the impact from Glasgow Rangers, and also the squad we have with players. We had a really good team. We had 24 quality players. And for me, that was fantastic, because when I signed for Rangers, the following year we qualified for the Champions League. And who was our opponent? PSV Eindhoven. And I still remember then when we went to Eindhoven and we played against them. I have to admit, it was fantastic when I came on the park. It was great because I played there for 6 years and I had a good relationship with the supporters, so you know, they were singing for me as well. But for me, it was then fantastic that we beat them 1-0 and I could silence all the critics.
Two fingers up to the critics. Uh-huh.
and then at home as well. Unfortunately, I didn't play in the home game, but we beat them 4-1 and we played them off the park. And then actually then the people in Holland, they actually realized the impact and the club, how big Glasgow Rangers actually is, because it was Advocaat, the coach, I was there, and of course Giovanni van Bronckhorst, who was just in the beginning of his career. And then the following year we had Ronald de Boer, and then of course we had some other players, but with André Kanchelskis, we had Claudio Reyna, you had Jorg Alberts, you had Porrini, you had Amoruso. So we had a really good team, and also the impact that a lot of the Dutch players were there was also in Holland, because a lot of our games when we played in Europe were also live on Dutch television. And then actually they realized, whoa, this is like Rangers and Celtic, they're big clubs.
Another wee guy that was there was Barry Ferguson.
Yeah.
What did you make of him when you first seen him?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Before you start, sorry.
Oh.
We actually interviewed Barry and he told us about how much influenced his career and his life. But he said he also influenced yours in certain ways. One was this.
Oh, yeah.
The Old Holland
juice. The Iron Brew. Yeah.
And the other was this.
Absolutely.
The drink.
The drink. The drink. Yeah.
So we can thank that after interview, all right?
Yeah, but this was quite funny because, yeah, of course, we shared the room for 6 years.
Yeah.
And I was always surprised. I said, when we played abroad, he was always taking some Iron Brew with him. And I said, what are you doing? I said, why are you taking it with you? And he only had it with him. And he had a couple of sips for the taste. I said, "What?" Yeah, I said, it's like an addiction to me. I said, I have Iron Brew with me. And he had 2-3 sips and for the taste. I said, yeah, but it doesn't make you a better player. I said, ah. I said, but I need it. I said, give me some drive to go for it. And this winning mentality. But every time when I see Iron Brew, I always think about Barry Ferguson. Sometimes when you go abroad as well and you see like Scots and drinking Iron Brew, I always think about Barry Ferguson. And this is what I learned from him. Especially when we had a day out with the players. I never forget, sometimes we arrived at Ibrox and then we were jumping on the bus. You had like a clay pitch and shooting, or we like, you know, with
quads.
And then after we went to town having a few drinks, but we stopped the bus just around the corner from Ibrox. The bus stopped and then I went out and I went to the bar. They came back with 2 big
crates
with all like beer and whiskey and vodka. So at least I've learned something from Barry.
Yeah.
No, but coming back, he's like, when I arrived there at Scotland, and Dick said, listen, we have a very good young boy, a very good young player. And Dick knew a little bit about the history from some of the young potential good players, like Charlie Miller and other ones. And Dick was afraid that maybe Barry would end up like them as well, and like, you know, a young boy with potential. But then all of a sudden, going out with the older ones, having a drink, having a laugh, and it would maybe cost his career. So Dick said, listen, I put you with him in a room, and I said, try to look after him, try to help him a little bit, try to guide him. He said, because this one has the potential to become a really good player. So I shared the room with Barry for 6 years, and I tried to help him, I tried to guide him, and sometimes he must have thought, what is this Newman doing here, by the way? Because I can be annoying sometimes, I can tell you that, by the way. But I hope that he learned a little bit from it. But it was fantastic to see him as well as a young, promising player, actually within already a year and a half, becoming the captain of the team, and becoming also the captain of Scotland, and then made a step to England. But I always thought that he was good enough to play for the top teams in England, like the Manchester United, the Arsenal, the Chelsea. Of course, he went to Blackburn Rovers, but I thought, in my opinion, he made a mistake.
Okay.
He could have signed for one of the top teams.
Bigger teams, huh?
Yeah.
Because he told us about the captaincy, and when Amoruso got it taken off him, he thought it would be you that would get it.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to do with Barry actually getting it?
Well, Dick also came to me and said, of course, what you said, Lorenzo wouldn't be the captain anymore. And said, Dick said, okay, I said, I'm thinking about you making the captain. I said, I think maybe it's good because Barry, Scottish roots, he's also this winning mentality. He was already actually showing himself on the park. I said, maybe it's good if he can become the captain. And it's also good because we had a lot of foreigners. I think we had 10, 11, 12 different nationalities in the team. And it's good that you have someone with Scottish roots, Barry with his winning mentality. He was a complete winner. And then when he became the captain, I think he was surprised but very proud as well. And but the moment when he became captain, it didn't change him as a person. But he was a winner on the park. He did everything. He gave 110%. And you need that kind of players. Mm. And even sometimes before we played against Celtic, you know, I thought that I was sometimes like a little bit crazy. But sometimes when we woke up and he tried to fire himself up, and then he was making a sliding in the room, in the bedroom.
Slide tackle.
I said, you, by the way, you better look out for me. But he was tackling and already like firing himself up.
Uh-huh.
And then that shows you then the winner's mentality he had.